Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Yo Blazer.
We're talking brackets, from Jill to Sora Riku, talking brackets, solid and liquid Snaku, Sub-Zero's manly frozen jaw, Phoenix Wright's defending of the law, we're talking Wesker, Leon and Ada, and that is why it is always a pleasure.
The amazing thing is you just came up with that on the spot.
Right now. I had seconds to think about
Incredible. And joining us this week, a very special guest. He's been on the show before. Always a delight to have this guy with us, Alec.
I was going to say thank you for not giving me a lead-up like last week that I wouldn't possibly be able to follow up, but then I got that.
So we still have just over a week until the first matches start. And last week with Leon, we talked about some of the big picture issues for this year. And so now we're going to get into more of the specifics in terms of breaking down the bracket. And we're going to start out this week taking a look at round one and some of the more debated matches. But before we get into that, let's talk about the bracket itself. And do we think it's a solid bracket? Were there some mistakes or some improvements that SB could have made in terms of positioning? Yo, why don't you start us off on this subject?
For me, the jury's still out. It could be good, it could be bad, and the main reason, you know, I really have no idea is because we've never seen this format before, so the whole thing could just be completely different. I mean, the way people vote might be completely different than what we're expecting, so it could turn out great, even though right now it just looks sort of average. And one big change that I would make is with the two seeds, kind of a weird one, but I would take Sonic and Dr. Robotnik, which is the two seed in that first division, and I'd swap them out for Fox, McCloud, and Wolf, the two Nintendo space pilots. I'm trying to look at which division that's in. I think it's the fourth one.
That's the third one.
The third one. And the reason I do that is because, you know, Mario and Bowser, they're pretty much going to trash almost any of the two seeds they're going to get. So why waste Sonic and Dr. Robotnik that early? You know, give Fox and Wolf, and that actually sets up, you know, a semi-debated match against either Kirby's team or Jill's team, whichever one gets there, versus Fox and Wolf. I could see people going in that direction, but the main reason I do it is because we're moving Sonic and Eggman down, and that actually sets up a wealth of cool matches, because I know the Ryu Ken guys might not like this, because Ryu and Ken will probably be the underdogs to lose to Sonic and Eggman, maybe, but it also sets up a tremendous upset opportunity for Ryu and Ken fans like myself, you know, whereas Ryu and Ken versus Fox and Wolf is a given for the Street Fighters. It's a really tough match versus Sonic and Robotnik. That one could be like a 50-50 across board 8. And the winner of that faces the Pokemon trainers. You've got another one there where people can kind of go either way. And if Sonic and Robotnik kind of take their iconic status as just these two iconic characters who have been around forever, and they take that to win the division, then they get to face what is probably the weakest one of the weakest Noble Nine tandems, which is Samus and Ridley. You know, Samus, of course, is very strong, but Ridley, not iconic at all, probably hurts that rivalry. And I could see definitely people going with Sonic and Robotnik over Samus and, over Samus and Ridley. So I think switching those out gives you some pretty good options on both sides.
Yeah, I do like that idea. And, well, the one thing I'll say about SB is that he hurt us, and we were all clamoring for Mario and Sonic, and so we said, oh, let's give them what they want and just set it up right away. And it's kind of the same thing that he did back in the day with Mario and Chrono. And that's nice, but it always just means more when the characters earn those spots. Like in 2005, when that ended up being the final, and Mario versus Chrono, but Chrono had earned his way there, that meant a lot more to me than, you know, earlier years when he obviously kind of forced it on us. And also, it's not going to be a good match, so has that going against it. Alec, anything you would have tweaked in this bracket?
One of the things that's kind of I wish had been, you know, X versus Zero. And that to me just looks like a really boring path until it kind of gets sacrificed to Mario. And I mean, I'd like to see that in something more of kind of some interesting matches and put up against something with some sort of power, because what has X lost to Link and who else?
Mario, I think, got the better of him a couple times, but it was close.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd like to see a more interesting matchup there and kind of get a better gauge of the strength and see, you know, kind of a challenging battle that's kind of maybe more of a toss-up, because it just seems to me that it's kind of going to be a really boring path until out there. And also, trying to figure out a better place to put it, which I can't really do, but seeing Snake and Solid and Liquid, if they defeat Chrono, going and just not even getting out of the division, and, you know, basically, I'm glad they get that, you know, that's an interesting match in the first round, but whoever goes there is going to lose to Cloud and Seth, so just wish there had been something more interesting there.
Yeah, that is my biggest disappointment as well. I actually really liked this bracket through the first six divisions, and then the last two are kind of a disaster area. Chrono and Lavos getting stuck against Snake and Liquid is really unfair, and I was especially sad to see that after what happened to poor Chrono last year. Goes out and earns not a great seed, but gets stuck against Mizno, our old friend.
Mizno, no!
out of the voting polls, which did so well, and then this year it gets stuck, you know, Chrono gets stuck in the voting polls and does really well and should have been rewarded in the same way that Mizno was the year before, and instead he gets stuck with a terrible matchup. The main thing I would have liked to see done with this bracket is kind of like in the series contest where we knew who the big three were. We knew it was going to be Final Fantasy, Mario, and Zelda, and the same this year. And then that fourth division without any of those needs to be kind of like the Wild Wild West. And I don't think we really have that this year. We have Samus in there, Big Boss, Fox, Pokemon Trainer. I mean, it'll be okay, but I would have liked to seen that part of the bracket be really stacked, like Sonic in there, as Yo was talking about. If Chrono was in there, maybe if Mega Man was in there, that would have been really cool. And the other thing I don't like, we're actually seeing Snake go up against Final Fantasy VII for the fifth time in the last 3.5 years here. The one good thing about that is Snake's actually 2-0 on Seth, and he's actually beaten Cloud 2 out of 3 times, and last year held him to 52% in their 1v1 match. So,
legendary soldier, man. Legendary soldier.
We'll get into this more next week, but I think people are counting out Snake against Cloud and Seth a little too early, but let's save that for next week. The other thing that really gets to me is we're also seeing Squall against Sora for the fifth time in about 3.5 years. And this one makes no sense whatsoever because Sora is 0-4 against Squall. And that was one that Leon was pretty upset with last week, so I got to give him this shout out there. Basically a really dull division, and then you're up against Cloud once you get out of it, so you have no hope. Not very exciting setup in those bottom two brackets.
Yeah, apart from Cloud versus Snake again, which you never know how that one's going to turn out. I think there's only one match in that whole section of the bracket that I'm actually excited to see, and that's Dante Virgil and Sora Riku. I can't really see anything else that kind of catches my eye. So that's a pretty poor job there if you only get one interesting match out of two whole divisions.
But moving on, let's get into those debated round one matches. And one thing that we talked about last week, and it's been said pretty much since the bracket went up, is people are talking about, oh, this is going to be a perfect bracket this year, and probably the winner only have a couple wrong or something like that. I really don't think so. And I think as we go through these round one matches, you're going to see some kind of tricky stuff here that might trip people up. So, the first match that's being debated, and this is all based on the Board Odds Project. Currently, there are 20 brackets in who have submitted them early. And the first one getting talked up is Kirby and Meta Knight against Jill and Nemesis. I know this match brought a smile to your face, yo. You remember their glorious meeting in 2002 when Jill beat Kirby with 53% of the vote. Are we going to see a repeat of that match here in 2011?
I do remember that. One of my favorite matches from almost a decade ago. And if you examine just the intangibles in this match, it actually looks like there's a lot going on for the Resident Evil duo. I mean, it's a night match against Smash Brothers characters. Big, big, big point in favor of Resident Evil there. It seems like Resident Evil as a series has been getting a little bit bigger over the past couple years. Big point in its favor there. I would argue that Jill and Nemesis, even on a site like GameFAQs, is probably the more iconic rivalry. I mean, Nemesis has his name plastered on the game's cover. They've got a very unique relationship where, you know, it's almost like a horror film. Like, he's a slasher villain like Jason or Freddy, and he's just chasing her around, chasing Jill around so relentlessly and just refuses to die for a game that's kind of a unique relationship. And, you know, of course, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which will star Nemesis, will hit, I think, just a few days or maybe about a week or so after the match. So I think you could take that into consideration. So a lot of intangibles for my two badasses here, but all the intangibles in the world aren't going to help you when your opponents are simply too strong. And Kirby, even in a night match, is just too strong for Jill. Meta Knight is probably almost certainly too strong for Nemesis. I mean, you put them together, even at night, even near Halloween or around the Halloween season, you still got to go with the Nintendo duo there. Now, that being said, 5 minutes before brackets are closing, I guarantee you I'm going to switch to the Resident Evil guys and start kicking myself immediately. So take my advice on this one with a grain of salt.
And so far, Board 8 agrees with Yo. Of the 20 brackets, 17 are backing Kirby and Meta Knight. Alec, is that a mistake? Should we be giving Jill more of a shot here?
I really wish that I could. I'll be voting for Jill. It is a night match, but I just can't see that happening right now, especially since we've talked about it. So, you know, there's no show curse.
Toss it.
But yeah, this would have been an interesting match, you know, a decade ago. Kirby is too strong these days. Meta Knight, after being in Brawl, is going to be too strong, and it would be very hard for Jill to overcome.
Yeah, I agree. I do have Kirby in my bracket, but I think this is going to be a tight one. As Yo mentioned, it's a night match. That's going to favor the Resident Evil duo. And Nemesis, we haven't seen much of, but I will remind you, he finished ninth out of the 32 characters in the Villains Contest. So maybe a little stronger than we give him credit for. And next up, we have a match that, frankly, I don't quite understand Board 8's take here. It's Donkey Kong going up against the Assassin's Creed duo, which is Ezio and Rodrigo. And currently, Donkey Kong and King K. Rool are heavy favorites. 15 out of the 20 brackets are backing them. Alec, is that a mistake to put some faith in Donkey Kong?
It is always a mistake to put faith in Donkey Kong in this contest. And, you know, Donkey Kong has definitely been one of those guys who, you know, he wasn't good in his first performances in this contest. And I'd say he's going down. He's one of those characters. I mean, everybody's going to say that, oh, Donkey Kong Country came out lately, but I don't think that he's going to be able to hold it up. I don't think that K. Rool is going to help either. A lot of people seem to think that's a strength, and that's going back and will remind everybody of Donkey Kong Country, but Donkey Kong doesn't have that much strength in the first place. I think it's going to kind of the really casual voters aren't going to be as much of a fan of K. Rool, and that I think this is going to go to the Assassin's Creed duo.
Yeah, interestingly, Donkey Kong and Ezio and the AC1 lead were all pretty much identical to each other in their performances last year, which means it's going to come down to K. Rool against Rodrigo, or it's going to come down to which of these is actually the better rivalry. Yo, what are you thinking?
I was thinking Donkey Kong and King K. Rool from the start. I haven't wavered on that. I'm actually pretty confident, which may be dubious, but I think I've done a pretty good job calling Donkey Kong's past contest performances. I think I have a pretty good record with him, unlike some others like Ness, who always seems to screw me over. You know, I think in this case, like, there's really no indication that Ezio is even stronger than Donkey Kong one-on-one. I mean, what was his performance? Like 60% on Simon Belmont, right? Like, in what universe is Donkey Kong completely incapable of doing that? I think Donkey Kong could probably 60-40 Simon. And I think Ezio got, like, I don't know, Zelda got like 63% on him or something. So before SFF, I could imagine Donkey Kong doing something similarly. So yeah, if you look at him at about equal one-on-one, you've got to take the rivalry into consideration. And you know, who is this Rodrigo guy? I've actually argued before in stats that most of these really, really brand new rivalries aren't going to fare too well because they haven't had time to really forge out an image for themselves and, like, forge out nostalgic memories in the pangs of the voters, you know, in the hearts of voters. So I don't think they're going to do too well. I mean, Ezio and Rodrigo versus Donkey Kong and King K. Rool, one of those just kind of pops out at you more than the other as a voter. So whereas it might be contentious one-on-one, it might be a 50-50 between the two heroes, when you just add the whole rivalry mix and you add a completely unknown guy as Ezio's partner, then I think you've got to give Donkey Kong the clear edge. And also, I'm not sure we touched on this, but I don't really think the day-night matters here because Donkey Kong's got surprisingly like a pretty good night vote.
Okay, yep, I was just going to bring that up. This one will be a night match. And the other thing I'll point out is AC Revelations does come out November 15th. That's going to be just about a week before, or a week after this match hits. These games, the last two games, Brotherhood and AC2, have been huge opening week sellers. Could be a lot of fans on the site. I think this one's going to be close. I'm leaning toward Donkey Kong right now, but I might switch my vote. So watch out for that one. Next up, we have another one very close to Yo's heart. That is Sub-Zero and Scorpion going up against Leon and Ada. And
Ada.
As of right now, we got, of the 20 brackets, 15 going with the Mortal Kombat duo. Let's ask the guy who has purchased 5 copies of Resident Evil 4, should we be backing Leon here, Yo?
It might be 5 copies. You might be right. at least three copies. Anyway, it is Ada Wong. I'm giving you Ms. No. I will not have you mispronounce the lovely Ada Wong's name. You know, I love Leon. Ada as his rival is kind of a weird choice, but I love Ada too. But they are not going to beat the ninjas. I mean, there is very little like chemistry between Leon and Ada that you're going to get unless you are a big Resident Evil fan. It makes sense for Resident Evil fans, for everybody else who is basically the large swath of the GameFAQs voting majority. They've got nothing on the ninjas. I mean, if you want to call Ken and Ryu one of the most, you know, iconic rivalries, then Sub-Zero Scorpion, if not equal to them, then they're like right beneath them. Everybody as a kid remembers Sub-Zero Scorpion. Everybody has played at least a little bit of Mortal Kombat and knew that, you know, the two ninjas were among the two coolest characters. They've just got that it factor, just like Ryu and Ken's got the, like, the white clothing and the red clothing. Sub-Zero and Scorpion, the blue and yellow, duking it out, have been duking it out for 20 years. Everybody's got their favorite, just super, super iconic. I don't think anybody hates, like, who hates Sub-Zero and Scorpion? You've got to be some kind of, like, loony. And you know, the fact that it's a day match, I think Mortal Kombat is strongest in the U.S., which means it'll have a day advantage over Resident Evil once again. Yep. So, I mean, you've gotta go with the ninjas here big time.
I completely agree. I mean, if this were a game versus game, that'd be different. Leon and Ada cannot hang in there with Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I mean, 10-year-old me would probably have had Sub-Zero and Scorpion winning this entire thing.
Yep.
That was one of those things, you know, that was one of those 90s things, completely going there, and that was like video games for a while. I mean, I love Zelda and stuff more even then, but I would have gone with Sub-Zero and Scorpion as the like coolest pairing in video games for a long time, and I think that's still going to hold up here.
Yeah, we saw back in 2006, Resident Evil was the stronger series than Street Fighter in a head-to-head match. Street Fighter's always been ahead of Mortal Kombat on this site. But even so, I think in a case like this, it's just a match where the rivalries do matter, and this was too iconic in the 90s for it to be upset here. So yeah, I am backing Sub-Zero here, despite thinking the other grouping is pretty strong by itself. Let's talk about a possible 2-versus-7 upset, and that is Fox and Wolf going up against Yuna and Seymour. Of the 20 brackets, 18 are backing Fox and Wolf, which surprised me a little bit.
You're kind of wrong, dude. it's funny. It's like Yuna and Seymour. I like Yuna, Yona, whatever you want to pronounce it. I'm not even sure. I will default to Lee at heart. I'll default to pretty much anybody else. I like her as a character, but pairing her up with Seymour, it's almost like I'm watching an episode of The Honeymooners or something. This is not a video game battle. It's like this failed wedding or something. You know, it's almost like a sitcom. The fact that it's a day match against Star Fox, NG, I think you pointed this out. Star Fox, if you go by the geographic percentages, is one of the strongest series slash entities slash whatever in America that we have. Yep. So, like, day Star Fox probably does something like 55-45 against night Star Fox. It's got to be something pretty crazy like that. Probably along the lines of a Kingdom Hearts or Halo. Like the day versus night vote is just extreme. And, you know, the pilots here really lucked out by drawing a day match against Final Fantasy of all things, which is in the last few years really become night centric. You couple that with the fact that Fox probably has a really good shot against Yona by himself, the fact that Wolf has got to do more for that rivalry than Seymour does to Yona, and it's just an open and shut case for me. I cannot see this one going to square.
In the last 2-3 years here, FFX, that's another Leon shout out, has become arguably our most night centric entrant. Always does great in Europe, does great in Asia, and America, North America is not so fond of it anymore. Alec, what are you thinking here? Do you agree, open and shut case for Fox?
I so agree that this is an open and shut case that I have spent ever since Yo started talking, thinking about the potential Fox Wolf Yuna Seymour sitcom. And
yeah,
how
there we
work
go.
That out. Because that will be far more interesting, even the idea of it, than this match will be.
All right, enough said. And, well, one more thing I'll say is I would like to give this upset some possibility, and then you go look back at that vote-in match, and these two already lost to Banjo.
Open and shut.
And Griffthilda. So let's move on to another possible 2-versus-7 upset, and this one is another FFX duo, Tidus and Jekt, against Big Boss and the Boss. Surprisingly, the Metal Gear duo is the 7th seed in this case. Had to get in through the vote-ins. And yet they've become heavy favorites on Board 8. 14 of the brackets are behind them. Alec, what are you thinking here? Are we going to see the big number 7 upset?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, I'm going with the Bosses. I think this is definitely one that's going to get... the pick factor could play a big difference in. I don't trust Tidus here, and I feel like the Bosses will definitely go kind of better together than Tidus and Jekt.
Yeah, that's a good point. Big Boss has always been our biggest pick factor kind of character, varying quite wildly depending on what match pick he draws. The other thing, we just talked about it, this is another day match. And Metal Gear Solid is kind of more of a night entrant. But again, when you're up against Final Fantasy X, it's a really good thing to be during the day. So, Yo, are you backing Board 8 here and going with the Boss duo?
Absolutely, I am. I mean, it's weird thinking about Final Fantasy X as sitcoms, but don't you think like Tidus and his old man can make yet another sitcom? It's like Yona and Seymour could be the lead-in, and then Tidus and Jekt could be on at prime time. I don't know. I think it'll work.
I could deal with that.
Yeah. The Bosses, it would really surprise the hell out of me if they lost. Just the fact that, you know, Big Boss slash Naked Snake will be there on the front page with his awesome pick. He will be easily the strongest of the four entrants. And, you know, in a contest like this, that's what you want. You want your entrant to be definitely the strongest guy in the whole picture, in the whole field. But just the fact that, you know, Big Boss and the Boss is really one of those only, like, video game pairings that I think about, and I can probably speak for the entire Metal Gear Solid 3 fan base when I say this, that when you think about it, you're just kind of, like, almost gut-wrenched by the emotion and the awesomeness of that rivalry. It's one of the few rivalries in gaming where when I think about it, even after all these years, I think, man, that was just so awesome, the way that, you know, the relationship forged between those two characters. It was so good. That's a huge intangible that they've got that I don't know if Final Fantasy X fans, even though they are backing the stronger game, are going to have with Titus and his old man. So I'm definitely giving it to the Metal Gear Solid crew here.
Yep, could be another case where rivalries matter, and in this case, not so much nostalgia-based, but just it being great in-game rivalry, something we don't have a lot of in this bracket, frankly. All right, so moving on to the most debated match. This one is the only even split so far, 10 going each way. The favorites, according to the seeding, are Phoenix Wright and Edgeworth, but you have to make a strong case for Gordon Freeman and Dr. Breen. This is going to be a night match. Alec, which way are you leaning?
I feel that everything, like, the favorite has to be Gordon. And Phoenix has a great chance at this. I mean, there's a whole bunch of arguments you can make, but Gordon's coming into this. Gordon beat Phoenix straight up. And, you know, Phoenix was, you know, that was about as, I would think, about as much of a peak of a strength as Phoenix is going to get in a lot of ways. I mean, that was, you know, the big deal. That was when Objection and everything was still around and like a big deal and posted all the time. And I'm going to look like an ass like this because someone's going to show me stats to show that Phoenix has continued to get stronger. And I mean, I know there have been more games since, but Gordon is stronger in the first place. And a whole bunch of intangibles. I mean, the night match is going to help Phoenix. Phoenix does have the better rivalry. I don't think that Breen is going to hurt Freeman, but really I think it's going to come down to Freeman versus Phoenix and Edgeworth, which I think will make it closer, but I think Gordon still holds on.
And the match Alec is referring to is these two met head-to-head in 2006. Gordon won with 58% of the vote. Yo, give me the case that says Phoenix is going to make up that percentage and win this match.
It's hard to give you a case definitively about anything in this one. I will say that Board 8 did right by this because this is absolutely the toughest, the most debatable, and potentially the best match of the first round. If I were to give you a favorite, I'd be either mistaken or lying because I really don't think there is one. And I am just so pumped for this match. I love it so much, not just because it's debated, but because look who the entrants are. You've got these two guys on a team who have been, like, crafted and carried by Board 8 for 5 years. They're like Board 8's love child. These are the two mascots of our board against the guy who, before they showed up, was our perpetual loser, teamed up with a guy who's, like, 10 times more worthless than he is. Just the level of contest suck that's, like, combined in this match is just baffling. And it still might be it could be the best match of the whole contest. I'm really pumped for this. I had Gordon and Breen at the beginning. I have since switched it up to Raito and Edgy. And, you know, I'm just thinking that, you know what, Gordon, I know that recently, or by recently I mean within like 5 years, he's lost his forever the loser status. But, you know, episode 2 was 4 years ago. Gordon hasn't gotten a single gaming appearance in 4 years. And neither has Dr. Breen. Last time, he looked worse than what we were expecting. He kind of struggled with Peach. I mean, she was giving him a scare at the beginning of that match. And then did worse against Tifa than Big Daddy did. So he's probably weaker than Big Daddy. So, you know, you already can see that he's getting weaker. And by last time, when I say last time, I don't mean like 6 months ago. Last time was 2 years ago. And he's gone those entire 2 years without getting a single game, a single bit of gaming exposure, unless you count, you know, Valve as the company growing. And I guess you can use that saying, oh, Valve has gotten bigger in the last 2 years, so Gordon, you know, has to have gotten bigger. You know, I can't really argue with you on that point, even though I don't really believe it. Whereas, you know, Phoenix is going to get Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3 like 3 days after this match. There's going to be hype for that game. There is already a ton of hype for Phoenix Wright in that game by both his fans and the fighting game community in general. Like, if you ask around and if you're kind of privy to the fighting game community, a lot of them are excited for Phoenix Wright in this game. The fact that it's a night match, I think, definitely helps Phoenix. The fact that he's the one seed and you know, will have brackets on his side. Again, that's usually meaningless, but you can, you know, at this point, you take any advantage you can get. I just think he's got a lot of intangibles in his favor, and you know what? Flip a coin, but if you're a Phoenix fan, you may as well go for Phoenix. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, lots of great points there. The one I wanted to touch on is we're all a little bit afraid of Gordon heading into the last contest because he had just defeated Snake and Mario and Link to win the GameSpot contest. Massive rallying, and we're all saying, uh-oh, what's he going to do in our contest? And then he was his usual pretty terrible self. As we mentioned, outperformed by Big Daddy, of all people. A little bit embarrassing. So I am backing Phoenix in this one. For a lot of the reasons Yo mentioned, should have brackets behind it. It's the one seed, and we know Board 8's going to get it out to a great start.
I just wanted to say that while I still think Gordon is the favorite, I will be going with Phoenix in my bracket, and it will be just like the first time where I wasn't sure that Phoenix would win, but I didn't think I'd be able to live with myself if I didn't pick Phoenix and he did win. And it's going to be the same thing here. I will pick Phoenix. I don't necessarily think Phoenix will win, but if I pick Phoenix and Gordon wins, then, you know, I can live with myself.
All right, moving on to what I think is the most confusing decision Board 8 has made, and that is the match that's featuring the 2010 Game of the Year and also the game Mass Effect 3 that the site is the most hyped for right now. And yet, here is Commander Shepard going up against Alucard and Dracula. Not exactly paragons of strength on this contest. And 19 out of 20 people are backing Alucard here instead of backing the really hot series on the entire site right now. Yo, you're a big Emmy fan. Are they making a mistake here?
No, they've got it right on the money, brother. Sorry to tell you. You know, I wish we can get Ed Bellis here to do his Castlevania impressions. I just can't do it like he does. But I know Mass Effect. I love Mass Effect, and I'm not just talking about the series. I'm talking about the original Mass Effect game. I've beaten it at least five times, a good five times. Yeah, I have gotten all of the achievements, which was a spectacular exercise in time-wasting. So I know my Mass Effect, and I'm telling you, if like, Shepard and Saren actually managed to win this, I will be shocked. I will be more shocked than Dracula when he threw that damn wine glass on the ground. I love Commander Shepard, but let me tell you, just as a big Mass Effect fan who's actually has his head grounded in reality, do not listen to the other Mass Effect fans. Saren is a nothing villain. He does nothing for this rivalry. Absolutely nothing. Like, Saren versus Dracula is so night and day, and I'm not just saying that because it's freaking Dracula, but in terms of what they do for the rivalry, that it should be open and shut right there. Like, as cool as Shepard is, Saren is nothing. Saren is exclusively in Mass Effect 1, which is the much weaker entrant of the series. You know, he's not even like the big, I don't want to spoil it, but I'll stop right there. Alucard Dracula, even though it's a day match, and the day match here is like the only shining light upon the Shepard and Saren team here, but I don't think it's enough. I mean, even if you think Shepard's gotten stronger than early 2010, and I'm not really sure why he would have gotten significantly stronger, he still might not be strong enough to beat Alucard 1v1. When you throw in the fact that it's a rivalry contest and Shepard's rival does nothing for that team, then it's pretty open and shut here.
All right, one thing I'll say in his defense, day match, Mass Effect was very good during the day in the last games contest. It's kind of a North America-centric series. And the other thing, Shepard looked really good as a character last year, holding Pikachu to 60%. doesn't sound that great. And then you think, wait a minute, about 3 days after that match, Pokemon went out and beat Bowser straight up and then held Mario to 53% of the vote. Like, Pokemon was going crazy during that couple-week stretch, and yet Shepard did really well. Alec, have I won you over? You're going to go with Mass Effect here.
I wish I could, but, you know, I've got to go with the Alucard here. If it were a Mass Effect 2-1, I feel that, you know, I, unfortunately, having not played Mass Effect 1 or 2, I can't say anything personal here. I'll have to trust Yo Blazer, but, I mean, it's a Mass Effect 1 rivalry. When we just had Mass Effect, Shepard was pretty weak on this site. Most of his strength seems to come from Mass Effect 2, so the rivalry isn't going to help out at all. And, you know, as excited as everybody is, you know, maybe if Mass Effect 3 were kind of coming out a few weeks after this match so that the hype was more intense, I could go for it, but I gotta stick with the Vampire.
Fair points all around, and I will take solace in the fact that this is the ultimate all-fictional character battle tryout that that Dracula's giving us, and seeing those two roar to victory will definitely...
Yeah, he's our rep.
It'll swing SB's opinion, don't you think, Gil?
What is a man? All right, let's move on.
All right. Moving on to a rivalry that is certainly nostalgic, and I think this one's interesting. We got Pac-Man and Blinky, the ghost, going up against Crash and Neo Cortex. 15 out of 20 are backing Pac-Man here, which I think makes sense because it's not only a classic rivalry, if you will, but it's also pretty funny. Alec, do you agree that they should be such heavy favorites over Crash?
I would take most characters as favorites over Crash. And, you know, Pac-Man is going to be classic, could give us some good picks too, which would be fun. And it's a night match. And Crash does not really have much. I mean, Pac-Man's not that strong, but it's a better rivalry. And Pac-Man's stronger in the first place.
You know, some people say LOLX stats, but I think in this case they can be trusted. And I can tell you that in 2010, just the raw stats, Crash finished 124th of the 128 characters.
And Neo Cortex, who may arguably be the single weakest character in the whole bracket, I'm remembering Rodrigo, so maybe it's him and Rodrigo battling it out for that weakest slot. I mean, that does absolutely nothing for his rivalry. Pac-Man and Blinky will definitely get joke votes. They'll get kind of those nostalgia votes. You know, this might be the first rivalry ever in gaming, unless you count the left paddle, right paddle, you know. So, yeah, I mean, against somebody like Alucard and Dracula, no, you don't go for Pac-Man, but they are up against such junk that you got to go for them.
Yeah, and as Alec mentioned, it's a night match, which I think should work in Pac-Man's favor. Very universal character in game, should do well internationally, so... backing that with full confidence. Moving on to one that is another split decision on Board 8. That's Siegfried and Nightmare going up against the Final Fantasy Tactics duo. Currently 12 out of 20 are backing the Soul Calibur guys.
I completely forgot about this until about 10 seconds ago and I looked below Neo Cortex's name. Ramza, he was in Dissidia, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so that kind of right there explains why it's a pretty good toss-up, and I actually think that's a pretty good reason to go with him. I think I was thinking about this right when the bracket came out, and I was considering going back to Ramza. I originally just picked Siegfried, just, you know, top option. Oh, I recognize these guys are stronger than whoever these other guys are. But you know what? If you go with Ramza, I really don't blame you, except for the fact that it's a day match. I can't believe that Final Fantasy Tactics, of all things, is going to be helped by the fact that it's a day match there, and they might get a little screwed when it comes to the pictures, because I think Siegfried and Nightmare probably look pretty cool on the front page.
Yeah, it's a coin flip, but, you know, all of our wonderful semi-tangibles are in favor of Siegfried. We got that top option. We've got the day match. We've got all that stuff. So that's where I'm going, but, you know, I would not be surprised at all to see it go the other way. So.
Yeah, the only thing I feel confident about for this match is that it will be the lowest vote totals of any day match, and that the board will probably not even notice that it started or ended. Okay.
Shades of a Perfect Dark versus Conqueror's Bad Fur Day, which I think is probably the most forgettable, worst match in contest history. Just wanted to get it out there.
Yeah, that was a very bad setup. Moving on to one that will make waves on the board and on this site. That is the final match of round one. It's Sora and Riku going up against What's-His-Face from Wolfenstein 3D and
John Carmack
and Adolf Hitler. As of right now, it's actually debated. Only 16 of the 20 are confidently in favor of Sora. Alec, are people just making too much out of this Hitler joke vote? Should Sora be an easy favorite here?
I think we always keep an eye out for that joke vote factor, and that there's going to be someone. And as far as it goes, this is probably Conker are the only ones that are kind of the joke votes that I can think of off the top of my head. But I think Sora's going to be able to pull this one off here. I don't think the Hitler's going to do well, especially, you know, if it were somehow like Sora versus Hitler, it might go a different way. I might be able to give it more thought, but, you know, really weighed down by What's-His-Face Wolfenstein guy. and just also kind of based purely on the my memory of Wolfenstein and a quick Google search, the picks for this match are not going to be particularly good for, getting – that will not help the Hitler joke vote either, I don't think.
Now, I've always been anti-Kingdom Hearts, and I did that on the last character battle. Everyone thought I was a fool for taking the Bowser upset, and then he went up against Sora, killed him with over 55% of the vote. So what do you think, yo? Is Sora possibly in danger of being upset here?
Was it really 55%?
Yep.
Was that bad?
Yeah, it was.
Damn.
Pretty bad.
Oh, man, that's nasty. You know what? I could see where those four votes are coming from. I am not going to fault them. Like, nowadays, I think people, like Alex said, they're always sniffing around for those joke options, and they're going to take them because, hey, if the joke option pulls through, you've got a huge advantage on everybody. So 16-4 sounds pretty accurate, like kind of what I'd expect, but I don't see Sora and Riku losing this. Like, we know without doubt that Kingdom Hearts in the day pretty much is a 55-45 against Kingdom Hearts at night. Like, it may be the biggest single day-night shift we have on this site. And, you know, it's against the day. And it's up against a voting option that is purely joke vote. Pure, flat and simple joke vote. It's not missing no words, joke vote, but it's also nostalgia vote, coupled with the fact that it is a representative of one of the strongest games on the site. This is a nothing game. It's from a genre that's, you know, traditionally not been very strong on the website. The rivalry itself is nothing. It is running purely on joke vote, and if you think that can beat Sora and Riku, you know, more power to you. Who knows? I mean, it could get rallied enough to maybe do it, but I really, really doubt that. Especially since, digging deep for this one, I think it was about a year ago that Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep was released on the PSP. It might not seem like, you know, that's not a very big deal, but we thought the same for Dissidia, which came back and rocked all our faces less than a year later. So, you know, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep was received very well by the fan base. It was definitely the strongest PSP game of that year and did similarly in Game of the Year voting to what Dissidia did a year before. So I think Sora and Riku might be a bit stronger than they were in 2010, but it's not like it really matters, in my opinion, for this match.
The one thing I'll say about Sora and Riku, I do think they're going to be a good lightning rod for anti-votes. I do think Hitler's going to look pretty funny in this match pick. And so if this were a night match, I'd have to consider it. But it's like Yo said, you don't bet against Kingdom Hearts in the day on this website. That's the one thing that we've definitely learned if you've been watching these contests in the past 5-6 years here. So I would like to go with the upset, but no, got to stick with Sora here. And that wraps it up for the big debated matches in round one, which of course means that everything we didn't talk about, it's got that potential. I know Alec loves talk about it, the show curse. So watch out for all the other matches.
Speaking of that, one match I'm wondering why we didn't even touch on is Ike and his dude versus Conker and the Pooh. Was that like a 20-0?
Yeah, I was wondering about that one right there. I was about to switch my vote to Conker.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on with that one? You purposely left that one untouched, didn't you? You want us to fail in a pile of shit. That's basically what it is.
That would be amazing. I think it was something like 18-2 or something. It was pretty heavily in favor of Ike.
18-2, which is closer than Alucard.
Hey, Shepard. Come on!
I
had to bring that one up because I had all this Game of the Year stuff.
Sweet corn is the only thing that makes it through my rear.
So let's just leave that open to the curse. All right, and the last thing we wanted to touch on this week, we're of course going to hit on all the other round two and forward matches next week, so tune in for that. But one more piece of advice we want to give you. People have been asking, what should I guess for the tiebreaker? Which for this bracket is going to be how many total votes will be cast in the final battle. And thanks to stats compiled by who else? Luster Soldier.
Chugga chugga.
We know that the average poll of the day in 2001, this is not counting any contest matches, has drawn 57,000 votes. And going back to last year, the final brawl against Majora's Mask drew 88,000. Votals have really dropped. And if you just want to go purely on finals matches, Link Cloud back in early 2010 drew 129,000 votes.
Yeah, that seems so impossible.
Yeah, today that would be really weird. And then as I mentioned, the last final we had, Brawl against MM, only managed 88.
I have two questions.
Yep.
Just one, what do you have the what were the numbers on the semifinal? So what was the peak? Yeah. And the other one was just, do we have the average poll numbers for last year or so? Like, to see how much, because Luster's, the 50,000 ones are based off of the non-contest polls, right?
Yes, that is all non-contest. The highest votals last year, Final Fantasy X against Majora's Mask, which drew almost 99,000. So that was really hyped, and then the final ended up being, you know, Nintendo fell down to 88. But keep in mind that this final will also, I mean, most likely, be Nintendo, and probably the big match is going to be, you know, Cloud against Link, and then Link against Mario would probably not draw as well as what we've traditionally seen.
Yeah, identical setup to last year. Even the fact that it'll all take place just a few days before Christmas, even the time of year is pretty similar.
Santa Link rematch.
Yeah, that's what we all need to see. Let's see. The things that I was primarily going to touch on, you guys have already mentioned, you know, last, I was going to compare it to last year's contest, which took place at almost exactly the same time, so it's a good metric. Last year, Nintendo in the final, it put up about 88,000 votes. This time, once again, unless you have a different final, it'll be Nintendo again. And, you know, it'll be less hyped because that Brawl, a Majora final, was pretty contentious. This time, it's pretty clear if Mario gets Link in the finals, Link is going to roll through him. So, you know, there's going to be no reason to kind of hype it up or rally more votes or what have you. You know, you couple that with the fact that votes have dropped. But you have to also consider that we were talking about this before the show, that, you know, these couple months, this next month in particular, it's going to be huge for games. Uncharted, Zelda, Skyrim, you know, Call of Duty. I'm missing a ton, I'm sure. Really, really big.
Mario.
That might. Yeah, there you go. It's going to drive up interest in the site. It'll probably drive up visitors almost assuredly. So you should factor that in. All that said, I still think it'll probably score under last year. So I'm going with 85K.
All right, and I got Alex's numbers here. Again, this all thanks very much to Luster. In 2009, the average poll, non-contest, drew 86,000 votes. Last year, that was down just a little bit to about 73,000. And this year, we've kind of fallen off a cliff. 73 all the way down to 57.
Well, you know, before the show, I was talking about, like, the new games. We've got the Battlefield, we've got Modern Warfare, we've got Uncharted, we've got Skyrim, we've got Skyward Sword, we've got Arkham City just came out, we've got a new Mario, I believe there's a new Sonic, so there's, like, this is a great crop of new games, but I don't think that's going to be nearly enough to compensate for the drop-off in votals we've gotten, especially because I don't think that this contest is going to get people, you know, as interested. We saw the nominations for this contest were down so much from last year, and I feel that, like, last year at least we had, like, a few big battles along the way and keep people interested. I don't think that this is going to hold people's interest as well. So I'm thinking that somewhere around maybe 80,000, but that might even be a bit optimistic right there.
Yeah, I'd agree with these guys. Something maybe in the low 80,000s seems like a good number to peg for that one, just based on what we're seeing here. So go ahead and plug that in, and you'll probably do pretty well on your tiebreaker. All right, and that wraps it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week. That podcast will be coming out right before the opening match starts, and we're going to be breaking down the remaining debated matches, and also watch for in the next week the Guru contest will of course be coming back. You'll want to look for that topic and get your bracket in, be part of the excitement, and don't forget to join the Oracle contest as well.
It's fun times for sure, and up until recently I didn't even know that the winners get a freaking game. I mean, if you win, you get a game. Come on, just try it.
Yes, you do. You also get a game. A lot of people didn't know this either, but the spread betting contest, very easy to play. You just say, I think Link and Mario will score more than 57% in this match. You keep doing that all season, you win the spread betting contest. You get a free $60 game. Really cool, so you might want to try that out. Alec, did we talk into trying those contests?
I will try both of those contests, which I had tried before, back when I believe there weren't prizes. So, you know, I've been drawn back in.
Yes, we have one convert. Makes it all worthwhile. I just want to be sure and thank Alec for coming on. Excellent guest as always.
Thanks for having me.
And your usual fantastic self tonight.
Yeah, I'm not sure about you, NG, but I just spent an hour with Alec and my testicles are still intact. Thank you, Alec.
Rare indeed, yes. So until next week, this is Endgamer, and the show is signing out.
I just missed a really funny joke opportunity, though. I'm kind of kicking myself.
Well, we're still recording, so say it now. Maybe I can do some fancy editing.
Nothing but a miserable little pile of secrets.
Okay.
I said, what is a man, like 30 minutes ago?
Oh.
end the show with that on a 30-minute delay.